You ready?
Is God ready?
Praise God. The Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. You know, as I saw the people departing, Brother Chris, I remember that Jesus said, y'all want to leave too? Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Y'all going to have to bear with me a little bit. I'm a little bit drunk. Amen. Just a little bit. Okay. If you don't know what I'm talking about, you need to get saved. Amen. You just need to get saved. Okay. You can drink as much as you want. Be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. That's what the Word says. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, I did a recording. Let me give y'all some wisdom here, because I make this same mistake all the time, Brother Jay. And I'll do things, and I'll say I'm not going to do this, and then God says, yeah, you are. And right after I finish, and I tell the world. He doesn't tell me before I tell the world. He tells me right after. Okay, just to let people know how flawed I am. Okay, just being real with you. And it was the week before, I believe, September 2nd, that I did a recording, and right here. I think it was right here. I believe it was here. Don't quote me on that. But and I was talking about, I was entering my 25th year of coaching, and I said that, you know, it doesn't look like it was going to happen. Year 25 wasn't going to happen. Well, lo and behold, September 2nd, I went into a job, was working 7 days a week, and I was coaching football again. Okay, that's how it happened. It worked. I was not there to coach football, even though that's what we did for 80 or 90 hours a week. Okay, it was there. We were there to take the Word of God into another place. That was the whole purpose of that. That's what was happening. I was sitting here, and I was thinking, I was looking up here at Jacoby when he was up here testifying. And I was thinking, because sometimes some of you get discouraged. I know I do. You sit there and think, what am I doing? Why am I here? What's the purpose? What's the point? Okay, let's just go off over here to our little cave and just shut up and sit there with the Lord, and that's enough, God. Send somebody else. Let somebody else do all that. Let somebody else take the hits for a little while. And I'm sitting up here looking at Jacoby, and I'm reminded that through a coaching job, through a coaching opportunity, that today this young boy, and by the way, is a seventh grader. He's about the same size he is now. I think he had the full beard. He had everything. And yet he married into the family. See, God had a purpose to bring a godly man through a coaching career into my family. And then I was reminded of my son and his wife. God had another plan through coaching to bring in a woman who loves God into my son's life. And I'm thinking about that, and I'm going, you know, the hamster's really pedaling the wheel. And I'm going, well, you know, God, what are you doing? And so I see that. I realize that today very clearly. And I'm sitting there, and this is some time, you know, before, and I'm going, and my prayer this morning, not this morning, but that the morning that I'm talking about was, God, I don't want to preach your gospel no more. I don't, y'all don't think that's scriptural, do you? Okay, I was just looking at that. Let me help you just a little bit. Jeremiah said in chapter 20, verse 9, then I said, I will not make mention of him being God, nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in my heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. So, God, I don't want to preach this gospel. I don't have anything for your people. I don't have anything to say. Now, you got to understand a little bit about Jeremiah. As best I know, there's not a big multitude that come to the Lord because of his prophesying. You know, he went out and he prophesied, and they wanted to kill him. They locked him up. They put him in stocks, put his head, man, put him in there, and he's laying there. He's a public spectacle. He's humiliated, and yet God's telling him he's going to do this. He's out there telling the king to repent. He's telling what's coming to happen. Oh, shut up, man, you old naysayer. You know what? You always got a bad mess. You don't ever see the good in anything. There are some people in the body of Christ, let me make it clear, that are called to a different ministry but the same Lord. There are diversities, but the same Lord. And listen, I wish, and I was telling Lamont, I said, I wish this morning, I wish I had a different call. And I'm still just waiting on the Holy Spirit. I'm just waiting on him to say, he's here, but clear direction. But I wish that I just could come and just preach a feel-good message. But if it felt good, that would deny the fact that you've got some sin in your life. And see, because when we address sin, the surgeon goes in and begins to cut, and it hurts. Every time I've been cut, it hurt. And there was a healing process. And in that healing process, I was under the care of the master. What happens is we get healed, and listen to me, and we walk outside of Jesus Christ, and we start doing, we forget what God has done in our lives. And we carry this badge, this is the Holy Ghost now, and we carry this badge of what happened in our past, expecting it to keep going that way in the future without the same kind of commitment and decision to the Lord Jesus Christ. I can't. Lord, I don't want to deliver this message. I don't want to speak this truth. I said, God, no. Just, I'm good. Just let me go to heaven one day. I promise you I won't deny you. I won't do the. But I don't need to deliver that. Because every time we deliver the God's truth, somebody's going to be mad. Somebody's going to throw a rock. And the police are going to, the world police are going to show up to take you to jail. And then the phone rings. Hey, on this Sunday, would you preach? Lord, I said. And I'm talking, that's about, you know when you were talking about drumming? How'd that work out for you? The same story. I ain't going to preach anymore. Forget it. Just forget it. But God had another plan. I said God had another plan. And so that's happening. And even yesterday as I'm driving through here and I'm going through Death Valley, if y'all don't know where that is, that's out in the woods where the phones don't work for about a half-mile stint. It's down in a little valley. I'll learn the road numbers one of these days. But it's usually dark when I'm leaving and dark when I'm coming. So how in the world am I supposed to see what number, all them roads out here? Okay? I just know where it is. Okay? I'm led by the Spirit. Man, I don't need to see all that anyway. And I'm going through Death Valley, and I hear, are you consumed? And no mistake that's the Spirit of God. Are you consumed? And that's my question to the body of Christ today, is are you consumed? I don't know exactly how this is going to come out because God's in charge and not me, but I want you to turn your Bibles real quick, and I want you to understand something as you're turning here. Go to 2 Corinthians. I'll tell you a chapter and all that in a minute. Just get in the neighborhood. I'll tell you which house in just a minute. Amen? But are you consumed? I want to talk about marriage. I want to talk about this fallacy in the body of Christ that believes that once you come to the altar and you say after me and repeat after me and you walk out, that you're already married to Christ. Now, spiritually speaking, it's done by faith. Yes, your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life if you've done this, but my Bible says there's an engagement period. Okay. And so you need to understand, when we're talking about marriage, will you ever be married to Christ? You see, the ceremony takes place at the return of Jesus Christ. And I could show you that in the book of Revelation. I plan to do that in a second. But I want you to think about the words holy matrimony. You see, that was coined by Christians, holy. For Jesus said, be ye holy, for I am holy. That's what the Word of God says. And if you don't believe that, you can hold that place and turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1 and in verse 13. It says, wherefore, and it's not saying holy, but we're getting there, gird up the loins of your mind. Gird up the loin. You see, gird up is to put the loin belt on that holds all the armor together. Gird up the loins of your mind. We're speaking about the Word of God being in your mind. We're speaking of the Word of God flowing in you and out of you. That's what we're talking about. Be sober. Do not be drunken with the spirit of this world. And it goes on and says, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. At the end for the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. You see, we're carrying around grace as a badge because we said a prayer, because we had church attendance. But we don't understand that grace is brought at the revelation of knowing who He is and your life being hidden in Christ Jesus our Lord. Grace comes by knowing. Let me help you again. Adam knew Eve and she conceived. You see, to know is to be one with somebody. Grace comes as you become one with Christ. I know I said we're in an engagement period. I'm going to get to all that. God started on all this last week. I'm just flowing as God gives me. I can't do what he hasn't given me permission to do yet. Whether I scream, shout, buck, kick, take off, whatever, it doesn't matter. What God wants is what we're going to do. Amen? As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as he which has called you holy. So be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Lord Jesus, we love you. Lord Jesus, we worship you. Lord Jesus, we desire to be holy. Lord Jesus, we desire and we believe in the anointed power of God to tear down all demonic strongholds this day. Every demonic false doctrine, every lie, every deception of the enemy to make your people believe that they're right with you when they're not even in the engagement. That there's nothing happening, God. For you said, if nothing is happening, nothing happened. Lord God, we're not here to please the world, but we're here to please you. God, we're not interested in pleasing man, but we are interested in pleasing God. We yield ourselves. We surrender all to you. We give you our lives. We give you our hearts. We give you our minds and our bodies, oh God. Do what you will in Jesus' mighty, glorious name. And somebody said, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Leviticus 11:44, and don't turn there, says, I am the Lord your God. Consecrate yourselves and be holy, because I am holy. It's in Revelation 19, and I'm going to turn there real quick. And in verse 7, that it says, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. Folks, I'm trying to get to something. I'm trying to teach you something. During the engagement period is a period of time to where you're preparing for marriage. You're preparing for the union. You're preparing for the final deal. You'll never make the altar if you're unfaithful during the engagement period. When you've been espoused to Christ and you've said the prayer, you will never make the I do's. You'll never become one lest you pass the engagement period. You are in an engagement period. The Bible says, and my brother quoted it today in Philippians 2:12, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. You see, if you propose to someone and that someone gets caught with somebody else, I said the spirit of this world. Come on now. You see, you're thinking about flesh here, but I'm talking about spiritual adultery. I'm talking about denying God, because you're more concerned about what folks think around you than you are about who you say saved you and set you free. It's going to get broken off. If somebody would have got baptized, they'd have been right there. I promise you, that was a big one. Somebody would have got free on that one. Guarantee you. Ooh, glory. Maybe the ones that really need the word, we ought to bring on up. Ooh, yeah, Jesus. Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you understand the commitment? You see, we've got this, and I'm just going to bring it to America because I don't know anybody else's mindset except sin. We've got this deal that until the deal is done, I'm free. They even have bachelor parties. Let me tell you something. If I'm a woman and the man that I'm fixing to marry goes to a bachelor party and they got some stripper there, you see some devil from hell enticing him, it's over. It's done. You ain't coming to my altar. You better hear me. We got, I don't want to go too far to the left, but I need to make you understand that this engagement period that some of you are in, and I stress some of you that you've come to Christ, this engagement period can be broken off. You need to understand that. The Bible is very clear on this. You are to be faithful. We have church members who get married, and they have guys that will take the guy out, and they'll say, you know what, we can just do it this one time. We can just take a few shots this one time. You see, just a little bit of sin, just a little bit of the intoxicating spirit of Satan just one time. You see, we can just look at another girl one time. Hallelujah. And then it goes the other way around. And we've got these people, and better yet, we got the one who's engaged, who's going to be connected to the love of their life, who participates. Oh, it's just the last time. You're right. It's the last time. Marriage is off. Are you following me? You think I got scriptural evidence what I'm talking about? We're in an engagement period. I myself am engaged. And I want to be honest with you. I want to be real with you. Are you consumed? Because I'm going to tell you, I have stumbled a couple of times. The Lord said, you better get it right before you come to this altar. You better get it right before I come back. You better get it right before the door is shut. Yes, you confessed. Yes, I downloaded the seed of faith in Romans 12:3 for you to recognize my son and cry out. But you must remain faithful to him in every area of your life. Well, Lord, they might fire me in that health class if I talk about Jesus. Good, you just broke it off. Because you just picked your health class over me, your Lord and Savior. Because, see, when you marry me, guess what? I'm the provider. I'm the one who takes care of you. I'm your Savior. I'm your healer. I'm your everything. You see, I got faith, but God, he expects me to have, use a little wisdom, brother. What wisdom are you talking about? Satanic? The wisdom of this world, this foolishness to God? What wisdom are you talking about? When are we only going to believe? When are we going to expect God to pay the bills? When are we going to be about our Father's business and stop having to have a plan to figure out how it's all going to work out? When God said himself, he said, don't worry about tomorrow. Today's got enough problems. Do the birds reap or sow? And yet not one falls out of heaven without my Father knowing about it. When are we going to trust God? When are we going to be a faithful, soon-to-be bride of Christ? Did you hear what I said? I've got to read a scripture to you. And it's, as I told you, to hold your spot in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. You'd think I'd be in shape after coaching football all these months. I'm winded like a wheezing goat. Praise God, that's only flesh. Right there. And we're going to read the first four verses. And we're going to talk about today what it means to be engaged to Christ, espoused to my master. That's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to get out of this mindset that, it's done. Now I can do whatever I want. When you can't do that to someone on earth. You can't even keep a boyfriend or a girlfriend that way. Some of you have had way too many bachelor and bachelorette parties. You better come back to the altar. And you better get re-engaged. I'm being real. This is not a word that I want to bring. It may make you uncomfortable. Good. Good. Because God asked me yesterday, says, are you consumed? Are you consumed with me? Completely consumed in every facet of your life. If it costs you everything, including your life, are you consumed? Or do you buy into the philosophy of the world that if I do this, they'll do that? I don't care what the world does. The world's unstable in all of its ways. Satan is the god of this world. It was given over to Satan in the garden. It is his, but Jesus is my Lord. I don't surrender to the god of this world. I don't surrender to the god of religion. I don't surrender to denomination. I preach the gospel, and if it hurts, good. And I'm going to read through this, and then we'll go back and refer to it. So if you need a foundation, this will be it. Because the Lord backs up the scripture with scripture. The scripture is interpreted by scripture, not by man's opinion. Would to God you could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that comes preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you've received another spirit, which you have not received. Do you see that? If you receive another spirit, which you have not received. You see, these folks were espoused to Christ. Another spirit, which you did not in the beginning receive. You had received Christ, but now a seducing spirit has come in and convinced you that no longer do you have to stay faithful. Do you remember how faithful you were when God set you free from drugs? Do you remember how faithful you were when he took the alcohol away? Do you remember how faithful you were when he restored your family? Do you remember how faithful you were when you could not pay the bills and God provided? Why have you forgotten? Why? Why do we, when it seems like in the world it's all together, begin to stray from our master who's taking care of everything? And he goes on to say, which you have not received. or another gospel which you have not accepted, you might well bear with him. You might well bear with him. Now, because of this, and we're going to detail this out here in just a minute, I want to turn back and I want to begin to talk about again, and I'm saying it over, what it means to be consumed with him. Are you consumed with Christ? I want to talk about what it means once you're engaged and what that looks like. So turn back with me to chapter 6 of Corinthians, if that's where I want to go. I'm sorry, 2 Corinthians, Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. When you get there, somebody say, praise the Lord. Let's start in about verse 14. This is the hardest thing that you're ever going to, and maybe it's not, but the hardest thing for an old football coach is to walk in amongst football coaches, and I'm not picking on the coaches I'm with. I've gained some brothers. Listen to me. I've gained brothers in this job I just took. I've gained brothers. But I'm talking about a man with 37 years of football experience as a player and a coach. And I'm telling you, the hardest thing is to walk in, and you've got this common assignment with these other men, but many times they're ungodly men. And you've got something in common with them, so you have a type of bond there. But and because of that, a lot of times we won't allow our faith to get in the way of what we're really supposed to be doing. And then we have to begin to address things. Because I'm going to tell you, in coaching is a place, and I'll tell you what, whichever camera's on, coaches, come see me, email me, whatever. You show me how you walk in the Spirit, and you're constantly teaching people how to beat other people down and outscore them. You show me. Because God's still showing me. And every time I try to get out, he puts me back in. He says, you ain't mastered it yet. You're not done yet. And he says in verse 14, be ye, or you, not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion has light with darkness? Now, the Greek word is koinone, or something is the Greek word for fellowship. And it means communion. It means to come together. It means to be joined together in a common cause, or for a reason and a purpose. Doesn't that sound familiar to our relationship and our marriage with Christ? To become joined, to become one with Christ? It says, have no fellowship. And I know that we have questions, because I've had those same questions. I go, how can I not have fellowship with the world if I have no fellowship? You are not to be one with the world. And it goes on to say, and what concord has Christ with Belial, Satan? Or what part has he that believes with an infidel? An infidel is an unbeliever. An infidel is an unbeliever. And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. And as God has said, I will dwell in them, I will walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them and separate yourself, says the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Listen, the question is for the natural mind. I'm going to speak from the spiritual side, because the natural man does not understand the things of the Spirit. Is how in the world do we obey the great commission of God, go into all the world, preach the gospel, if we can't have fellowship with the world? How do we win the world? That's not what the Bible's telling you. It says, look at that part where it says in verse 17, it says, be you separate. You can be separated right in the midst of the world. You see, your consecration to Christ, your engagement to Christ, will bring the Word of God. Your separation unto the Lord in the midst of that vile workplace, in the midst of that coaching office, in the midst of those teacher meetings, in the midst of your construction job, whatever it is, your consecration to Christ, your unwillingness to deny Him in every facet of your life, will bring souls into fellowship that will be born again and saved, that will join you in the spousal process. And see, we don't understand this. It's too hard. Because the other side of that is, my brother Jay, as we talk, the same thing is going to happen, is you're going to begin to be condemned by the world. But can they really condemn you? That's what the devil's convinced you, that you're going to be condemned. Listen, I don't want to speak this gospel, Jeremiah said. I don't want to say it anymore, Lord, because every time I only say what your word says, you're going to get, yeah, but you're a judger, and you're religious, and you're this, and you're that, and you're that. I don't want to, God. I don't want to do this. I just want to be liked. I just want to fit in. I just want the old drunkard to come up and say, hey, bud, can we hang out and have dinner sometime? And let's just talk about nothing. Let's talk about death. I just want the old prostitute to come up and say, how are you doing today? You're so special. You know, your life is great. You can be a mentor. I mean, just leave Jesus completely out of it and just have fellowship with the world that way. Hey, let's just come together in a common goal. I like to work out. How many guys like to work out? Let's just talk about working out, and let's just leave this out of it, because this will offend somebody. That way that's what God created us to do, right? For fellowship with the world. Be you separate, says the Lord. The separation is not physical. Listen to me. The separation is what and who you stand for. That's the separation. Can I tell you how many times I've sat in offices and I've sat there, I've got to address this. And I've even told Lamina, we've known each other for a little over a year now. And I told her, I said, I've got to deal with this. I don't want to deal with it. I can't take it no more. I'm not ashamed. None of those kind of things. But you get tired of all the time having to address things, because people are so dead spiritually concerning Christ. They're so dead that there's so many surgeries to do that just pick one. There's so much work to do, just pick one. The world is lost. They're bankrupt morally. They're dead. I thought I'd been to some dead schools, brother. The Lord done shown me something this year. 25. I don't know what's symbolic of 20, 25, I guess. But he done shown me something. But you know, when you go in, Jacoby, and you've been there and done that, you've already won a few battles, and you go in and you say, well, you know, coach, you can't talk about that in class. There's the same keys that y'all gave me. You know, because see, I remember doing a recording saying I wasn't coaching anyway. It's a great place to be. But let me tell you something. Those of you that are not in that place are in danger of breaking it off with Christ. Because it doesn't matter if you're dependent on that paycheck or not, that you may risk that paycheck. Then let me ask you, who is your faith in? And if your faith is in Him, the way that you draw a paycheck, forgive me, Lord, this is not a prosperity message. The way you draw a paycheck, the blessing of God, is you're obedient to His word. Because, see, my trust and my faith are in the Lord to provide. And if I don't pick up a paycheck from one of those particular schools that I went to or wherever God may be sending me, if I don't pick up a paycheck from them, well, then the ravens will bring me one. Somebody will bring me one. Somebody will pay the bills. It will happen because I'm going to stay about my Father's business. Let me give you a nugget. Let me give you all a word of God. How many of you worried about something, paying a bill or financially? It's Christmas. Just be real. Kevin said there's a bunch of lying people. Okay, you're worried about it. Okay, you got one or two things. Okay, either you're not trusting God or you don't need it. Because see, when you start trusting God, you may not get it anyway. You see, He shall meet my need. Number one is Him. And when I'm in the Master's presence, I don't have to worry about going hungry. Are y'all hearing me? When I'm engaged to Christ, I don't have to worry about starving to death. That's, you see, I have meat that you know not of, Jesus said at the well of Samaria. I have meat of my Father. You see, you got to hear me when you're engaged to Christ. Coach, I ain't going to help them bills get paid. Well, you know, some of you probably need to get your car repoed. God didn't tell you to buy it anyway. Some of you need to get your car repoed so you have bad credit so you can stop making bad decisions. Well, I need credit. No, you need to get credit with Jesus. I'm not saying it's wrong if you had to buy it. I'm not, but I'm saying where the Holy Ghost is ministering this message to you, let Him minister it. Now, I'm driving a ticking Tahoe. It's been ticking for 2 years. Jay heard it. He saw smoke blowing. Y'all seen it? Start out here, boom, white cloud comes out the back. Here comes the anointing. Man, I was sitting at school. I went out there in my car, unlocked it, and I got in it, and I didn't realize it. And I looked in my mirror, and there was a couple of coaches changing a flat right there by the exhaust. I mean, I was this far away. I fired up, boom. I'm looking. That's the glory cloud. There's oil in it and everything. I'm telling you. Anoint them with oil one way or another. I'm telling you. But that thing been ticking for 2 years. And in my mind, I'm going, well, you got a job. Go buy you a car. No. No, Lord ain't told me to do that yet. He might, but he ain't told me to. But you see, that's the American Christian way. Just go out and do what you want to do. Well, brother, you got to use some wisdom. And let me tell you again, which wisdom are you talking about? If God is able to tell me when I've sinned, anybody know that? John 16:8, he comes to convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Then why is he not able to direct us in any of those other things? Because really what the issue is we have a lust in our flesh, a desire in our wicked heart, which is wickedly deceitful. And because of that, we want to fulfill it, and we want to blame God for it. Well, look good. God done blessed me. Don't look like it. You're about $30,000 in debt. Don't look like a blessing to me. You look like a curse. Now you can't quit your job and do what God told you to do. Hey, I'm just talking. I'm not saying it's wrong for everybody in here to go buy a car. But some of you it is. Listen, I don't know everybody's story. There may come the time where God tells me you got to buy a car. But right now, I've been ticking for 2 years. And I'll tell you something miraculous happened. This woman right here, okay, when I was getting real close to buying a car, she prayed and it quit blowing smoke. It ain't smoked since. That was about 8,000 miles ago. But I still got a ticking as a reminder. I'm sitting there, guys, going, I mean, that's about how it sounds. I'm driving this thing hundreds of miles. Say, Lord. I'll just go buy a new, brother. My master ain't told me to buy a car. My master has not told me to buy a car. You see, we got to get some things settled down inside of us. You see, are you consumed with Christ? You see, that works the other way too. Are you consumed with the world? Are you consumed with the doctrine of man? Are you consumed with religion? Who's your teacher? Is it the Holy Ghost? Or is it some station on TV with somebody that's asking you for a dollar? Who is it? And there may very well in their own right may be some very good anointed people. But I'm saying, who is your supply? Why is Jesus not our only supply? Why is, because if he's your only supply, then he'll tell you what other men of God to supply. You see, he'll provide what you need and he'll tell you where it needs to go. There's a difference. We're trying to work this engagement with Christ from outside in. We're trying to do everything right on the outside, but we've spent no time on the inside, so we're doing what the world says, oh, brother and sister, you're doing such a great job for the Lord. That's awesome, but that's not what God called you to do. Do you really think that this church is going to fall because you don't give all your money here? Now, you might, if you were told to. Come on. But if God has called this assembly to take place, ain't no devil in hell can stop it. And you can't keep it going either, by the way. It's God. Now, let's go back to our lesson. We finally get to it. Well, we got about an hour and a half, 2 hours left. Praise God. Let's go back. Let me read this to you again, and I'm going to point some things out in the Scripture. We're going back to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. What are we talking about? I know you heard me say consume because I believe that that was a word from the Lord, so I refuse to let that word go. That's what I thought about all day yesterday is, are you consumed? Are you consumed? And the message that God has had marinating that started last weekend, last Saturday morning to be exact, was my engagement period with Christ. The fact that the wedding will never take place if I'm unfaithful during the engagement period. I didn't say my church attendance. I said the engagement period. So let's look at this again. It says in verse 1, chapter 11, 2 Corinthians again, would to God you could bear with me a little in my folly. And the word for folly is foolishness. And indeed, bear with me. This is the Apostle Paul talking to the church of Corinth. And he says, for I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy. You see, the word jealous in America is a bad word. Well, you're just jealous. But my Bible says that jealousy, and I even wrote it down up here, because I want to make sure I get to stare at it. The root word is zealous, Strong's 2205. Okay? God is jealous for us. The root of the English word zeal, eagerness, enthusiasm, intense desire, passionate commitment. The word carries the idea of zeal and jealousy. That's what the word jealousy means. And if you go to the book of James 4 and in verse 5, it says that the Holy Spirit jealously yearns for us. He's passionate. He has zeal. He desires you. Do you understand that? There's a jealousy of the world that Satan will use to draw you into sin. And there's a jealousy of God, a desire for you that draws you into holiness, that draws you into holy matrimony, that draws you into the engagement period. And you have to understand the difference in this, because people get confused and they say, well, God is not jealous. Well, that ain't what my Bible says. I just read to you two places where he is. It says right there in verse 2, for I am jealous over you with a what kind of jealousy? A godly jealousy. There is a desire. But let me tell you something, engaged people to Christ, espoused people to Christ. Let me talk to you just a little bit. That when he calls you in jealously and you begin to break his laws, he is also the same jealous God that will bring judgment upon you, that will remove you from his covenant. You see, God is not someone who cannot lie. I've got to say that. He's not someone who does not lie, who carries this attribute. He cannot lie. That's who he is. See, he's not someone that possesses holiness. He is holiness. He is jealous. Zeal, passion, desire for you. He is. That's who he is. And it goes on to say, with a godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present to you as, to present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. Now, you need to understand the word espoused means, again, to be engaged. If you're not marking this in your Bible, you're missing it. To be engaged. It's a time, I wrote down, a time of commitment. A time of testing. A time of testing. A time of testing. A time to where every temptation and every desire of the flesh, the devil, and the world will come against you to try to stop the ceremony from taking place. A time of testing. And the reason for the testing is to maintain faithfulness. Those who endure to the end shall be saved, Matthew 24. I said those who endure the engagement period to the end, to the return of Christ, or whether they go to Christ first, shall be saved. I said those who endure. Endure means endurance. If you don't understand endurance, then go outside and run 4 or 5 miles and you'll begin to get a clue. It means continue on. Have I made it yet? Oh, you got another mile to go. Have I made it yet? No, you got another mile. Have I made it yet? No, I got, woo, woo. Endurance means you got to keep going. You got to keep denying yourself and keep picking up your cross and following Christ and stop leading Jesus. It says follow Christ. It says in Romans 8 that those that are sons of God, and I'll add the daughters of God, are led by who? The Spirit of God. You're not leading God around. You didn't get set free and engaged. He asked you, he said, will you marry me? You see, Jesus said, Morgan, will you marry me? Will you? But it doesn't mean when he says, will you marry me, that it's a done deal when you become unfaithful. You see, when he says, will you marry me, he marked you. You see, the world knows that you're going to be married to him, and they begin to back off. No, she's not available anymore. He's not available anymore. He's engaged. But there's always those demons. There's always that testing period. There's always, you know what the test is for? It's for you to walk through it. You see, Jesus walked out of the wilderness and passed the test. He preached the gospel. He said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. You've got to understand it. The trials. We are in the wilderness right now. Jesus went through the wilderness, and he was tempted of the devil. But you are in that wilderness right now. This is the engagement period, the wilderness experience. And there'll be bouts to where you come out. And you'll think, oh, thank the Lord, that's over. Don't thank him too fast. He got another one waiting for the faithful right in the corner. Did you hear what I said? Another one waiting for the who? The faithful, the ones who remained engaged. He has another one for you around the corner. And, of course, thank him for all of it. I didn't mean it the way that sounded. There's another one. Why? Because it is a constant testing until you truly 100% become one on that great marriage supper of the Lamb. You see, in Matthew 25, and me and Jay have talked about this many times, were there not 10 virgins? 10 what? So you might say 10 people engaged to Christ. How many were invited into the wedding? 5. Wait a minute, it said 10 virgins, you only 5. You got these virgins that didn't get to go in. I'm confused here. Virgins. Virgins. They were virgins, but they didn't possess the anointing. They weren't obedient to the word of God, because if they were, they would have had oil in their lamps. You see, they were playing the game. And maybe at one time that they had some oil in their lamp. It's possible that they had it, and the candle burned out, and they just said, oh, I'm tired of refilling the lamp. I'm tired of going back into my prayer closet. Let me say something, and I want to add to this, and I know Kevin would agree with this. Was we were talking about Romans chapter 8 last week, and he was talking about walking in the Spirit, and he said, just obey the word of God. But how do you obey the word of God? Who can obey the word of God? It's the anointing, the oil. It's the Holy Ghost who obeys God. It's God who obeys God through you. And if you don't go to the filling station, you got no oil in your lamp. If you got no prayer life, you can't do it. You might be a virgin. You might not cuss, dip, or chew. You might not mess around. You might look good and all these things. But if you haven't been to fill up with the anointing, the door's going to be shut. It's broken off. Listen to me. Holy Ghost is speaking to somebody. I've been set free. I've come way too far to turn back now. I have, man, and I'm going to speak worldly just for a second. I've made a fool out of myself according to the world. If I would have just kept going, Monica, on the path I was on before this Jesus stuff got in the way. You see, I knew what Jesus was, but as long as I kept him in the proper place. See, that's Christianity 101. Keep him in his proper place. Don't take him to work with you. You might lose your job. Oh, God might have to provide. His word might be true when he said he would. Now, if you can't do that, how in the world are you going to believe that you're going to go to a place that you've never seen with a king that you've never laid eyes on? How are you going to believe you're going to be walking on streets of gold if you don't believe he can pay the mortgage now? How? I'm simple. Listen, I didn't graduate the top of my class. I was in the bottom 10. There was only 40 of us. And I used to thank the Lord all the time that I wasn't the smartest one in class. I couldn't analyze it. I just had to read it and say, oh, well, it makes sense to me. Even if I didn't make sense. He said it is true, whether I understand it or not. 10 virgins. 5 virgins. 5, by the world's standard, clean folk. Let me tell you something what that scripture tells me. If you don't have the Holy Ghost, I don't care how often you're in church. I don't care how clean your mouth is. I don't care how proper and how moral and how disciplined you are by the world's standard. I don't care. Because, see, the only ones that are going to come in that have got the light in them, you can't shed light if you ain't got no oil in you, because there's nothing to burn to put off the light in the assembly. You see, we're called to be light, or you're not called to be salt and light. You see, if the salt has lost its flavor, it's no good but for the dunghill, the Bible says. What good is the lamp if it can't burn and put off light? It can be beautiful. Some of you got antiques around your house. They're beautiful. They've got sentimental value or whatever. Idolatry, whatever. Never. I ain't going there. Okay. They got some kind of value to you. But they're worthless. They're worthless. They don't do anything. They just sit there. Oh, look, I got that. Yes, my great-grandmother's got her tears on the side. She's a godly woman. What do you base that on? Well, she went to church for 30 years. She ever talked to you about Jesus? Well, no, but I knew she was going to church, and that was a ministry within itself. Well, y'all tell me the verse, the book and the chapter on the, that just going to church and just telling somebody you're a Christian means you're truly faithful to Christ. Will y'all show me that somewhere? Book of Opinions. Good. I haven't got that one yet. Yeah. I'll tell you what, man, Cody. I don't get on Facebook very often. Facebook, that's what it ought to be to the believers. Facebook. But occasionally, you know, I find myself, I get 3 minutes, and I go, so, I shouldn't be doing this. I look there, and Cody always pops up at the very front. And he's just like hitting some stuff, just to, oh, you're going to hell if you don't do it, blah, 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 blah. Man, I like him. I like him. He's going to cause a ruckus. Somebody's going to start a fight with him on there, and I bet you get a bunch of messages, too. How old are you? 23. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Jacoby, was you in here a while ago when I started? Did you hear what I said about you a while ago? You did? I didn't even realize all that. And you realize what God has done? You realize as you were a little bitty seventh grader with your full beard and full-size body, you realize that God already planned to bring you into this family? You understand to bring a godly man into this family? And yet, just before that, Kevin was lost. I was lost. And then he brings in another God that brings us back to him. Brings in Jacoby, Aubrey. Now, I ain't going to try to figure that out. I'm just saying, it really ministers to me. That ministers to me. Did you know in seventh grade that you liked Bailey? That's what I thought. When's the first time you start making eyes ever? When you start thinking about her? I thought he was fixing to come with the day and the hour. Because Jacoby's like that. If you've ever talked to Jacoby, you know he's like, he'll dot the I, yeah, he got it. Yeah, he's learning some things, ain't he? Yeah. Well, you're a blessing. I'm glad you're here. And I would have never thought that. But the Lord kind of encouraged me through that, through you and Aubrey, of joining this family. And because sometimes in that coaching realm, you don't see the fruit for many, many years. But I see it. I see the fruit. I see the purpose and the reason. And I want to read that again. I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you a chaste virgin. A chaste virgin to Christ. Now, we were talking about the 10 virgins, but I also want to talk to you about the word chaste. The word chaste, this word also jumped out to me. It mostly implies, it's a term indicating inward cleanliness, usually referring to sexual purity. But Strong's 13, I believe, 77, the definition is, I pursue, I persecute. And it means also, if you continue to dig a little bit, to make to run or flee, to put to flight, to drive away. A chaste virgin. I present you a chaste virgin to Christ, a pursued virgin, a persecuted virgin. You hear what I'm saying? You see, the word in itself, in its simple term, means a pure bride. You see, there's a couple of different things happening here. You got to listen to that word chaste. Mark it in your Bible. You got to have this. You got to go. You got to listen to me. A chaste virgin. You stay pure. In other words, you don't flirt with the spirit of the world. Let me give you simple stuff, because I'm a simple guy. I already made that clear through my graduating class. Okay? Simple stuff. A chaste virgin is someone who goes into the world and obeys the word that says to be separate. They understand we still have to go into the world, so they go into the world and they remain faithful to Christ. How? How? How do you remain faithful when you go into the world? How do you remain pure internally? It speaks of sexually here, but it's also speaking of spiritual purity, spiritual adultery. How do you do it? You take Jesus with you. Who's Jesus? Somebody, come on. We'll just make this just a Sunday school lesson. Who is Jesus? In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and not only was it God, but still is God. So I'm a chaste, I am pure to Christ, my future husband that we become engaged to, And so now I am separate because the world says it's okay to sleep around. But I'm a chaste virgin who goes into the world and I stay pure by taking Christ with me, which is the Word of God. And because I'm pure, I'm curious here. How many of you you've ever been asked if, in any other way, you don't have to raise your hand on this. You ever been asked if you're doing inappropriate things? Have y'all ever? Okay, I know we're talking to people who lie here. I remember that. But I'm going to go ahead and say that. How in the world are you going to put a stop to this stuff? How in the world? No, I'm espoused to Jesus Christ. No, let's see, that's not it. I am espoused to Jesus Christ. You see, I've become... Now, let me say this to you. I want to make this clear to you as well, because to be a chaste virgin of Christ does not mean that you were a virgin before you were engaged. You see, Christ can make a virgin out of you. Come on now. You see, he can make a virgin out of you and fill you up with the anointing oil that you can be a light to the world. You got to understand this. You see, he can behold all things become new. And what I got to stop doing is identifying with my former life that is supposed to be dead and buried but resurrected in Christ Jesus, my Lord. And I got to move forward as a virgin. Filled with oil, with my lamp full. Is that making sense to anybody besides me? Because I got all this. A chaste virgin, a persecuted bride, hated. When somebody comes in talking their filth around you, you begin to say, well, bless God. You know, you ain't got to have it that way. What? I like it that way. No, you ain't got to have it that way. Hey, you know what? I want to introduce you to somebody. You see, the Word. I'm taking Jesus with me. When I had that dream of the Lamb in my backyard that y'all have heard, and you could stand up here and you could share it yourselves, and I'm sitting there, and I take this Lamb, and I put him inside my garage because I'm leaving for the evening, for the night, to protect him from the coyotes and the wolves. And I come back out to let him go outside because I'm sure he had to go to the restroom by the next day as I returned home. And the Lord spoke to me and said, don't lock me up. Take me with you everywhere you go. And at that point, the Bible was on my desk at school, and my conversation changed. You see, in all manner of conversation, I changed. All manner of conversation. What's the Greek word for all? Y'all don't remember reading that in 2 Corinthians chapter 6? All manner of conversation. All manner. You see, I'm not, and I catch some flack about this, because I'm not real interested in talking about, you know, the weather. I'm interested in talking about the one who makes the weather, not talking about those other ones, the geoengineers, the demons. I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about the one who's above all, okay? The one who those were made by God for God, okay? That's not what I'm talking about. Let me go further. A chaste virgin to Christ. You become engaged to Christ. And behold, old things pass away and all things become new. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve, work that word, through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Now I want you to mark that word, beguiled. And I want you to understand that it's in 1 John, I believe, chapter 4, if my memory serves me right. Praise the Lord. Somebody tell me if I'm right or wrong. Tell me I'm right and wrong. That says that beware in the last days of seducing. Matter of fact, it says, point blank, it says, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God. That's 1 John chapter 4 and verse 1. Now, beguiled is seduced wholly. Now, look at this in the context of the Scripture. But I fear lest by any means as the serpent beguiled Eve. Now, we just usually put down trick there, but it says to seduce wholly, to deceive. I wrote down the notes of a Hebrew scholar that says it's a rare verb that indicates multi-level experience evoking great emotion, psychological and or spiritual trauma. Eve's multi-level intense experience, beguiling by the serpent, was the catalyst that caused Eve to ponder and evaluate what her role in the garden really was. makes sense to me. It's still happening today. Now, we can put this on Eve if we want to, but every person in the sound of my voice, you see, Satan's still doing it. He begins to get you to ponder what your role really is. You see, he didn't just come in and say, tricked you. Ha, I got you. No, he beguiled you. He seduces you. You see, if I'm walking this way and I get off just a half inch, by the time I get to the wall, I'm in the corner and I should have been over there. You see, he just moves it a little. You see, it's not another gospel. They're still saying Jesus, but it's not the anointed Jesus. It's Jesus is who it is. But beguiled, to be tricked, to be deceived. And let me tell you something. The Bible says that the God of this world has blinded them. Those who do not what? Who do not believe. As you, I believe that's 2 Corinthians 4:4. Has blinded the minds of those who do not believe. Who's blind? Do you know, let me bring it down simple again. I want to keep doing it. Do you know what believing is? It's just to obey God. It's believe is to be obedient. Now, I've already spoken of the anointing that it's going to require, but believing is to be obedient. Is to just obey God. So when God says be a chaste virgin in this world, a virgin to who? A virgin unto Christ, awaiting your husband, your master. So when you go in the world, you must take Jesus as the dream he gave me when I begun. You must take him with you everywhere you go. You see, we don't, do you know what it was like when I went to work and I left we had a conference table in our office and we all sat down, coaches, and carried on mindless conversations. You know what happened when this revelation and God had given me this dream and interpreted this dream and I took my Bible to school? Here's what happened. There was a separation. I went to my desk and I started reading my Bible. I would even put on earphones to block out what they were talking about. And you can sit there and tell me I was being religious if you want, but I had a dream and God had spoke to me and he had called me and he backed it up with the word of God that says, be ye separate. He said, be ye holy, for I am holy. You've been a spouse to me. You're a chaste virgin, because when they see you over there, but see, the American translation of that is, well, I'm serving God, and I'm going to just hang out with him, just talk with him. It's not what my Bible says. That's another Jesus. You can't find one place in here, one place to where Jesus just hung out and didn't preach the words of his Father. You can't find it. Well, that was Jesus. Well, you said you wanted to marry him. You might rethink that. You said you wanted to marry him. You think I'm radical. You ain't seen nothing yet. And I know that our religious minds are going, oh, no, coach. Stop it. He calls the simple because the smart people won't preach. I'm talking worldly, but let me tell you, the greatest wisdom is the Holy Ghost, and I've got it, so I'm pretty smart. Listen, guys, and I want to say this because I don't want to misinterpret anything. That message must be preached to the world. It must be. There is nowhere in the Bible to where I'm allowed to walk into my coach's office and allow to go on what's going on when it's against God without addressing it. It's not there. It doesn't exist. Because, see, the ultimate form of judgment is, I'm not talking about words coming out of your mouth. I'm talking about the word coming out of your mouth. The ultimate form of judgment is your silence. So when someone says, you judge me, say, no, I would have judged you if I'd have just shut up and let you keep doing it. Because, see, what you're doing is against the one I'm fixing to be married to, that I'm engaged to, and I really want you to be engaged to. There's room. There's room at the cross for you. And see, if I wouldn't have told you about this, I let you out on the best deal of eternal life that's ever existed. I let you out. You see, and we call that love. You see, I love you, Jay, but I'm going to let you go into hell because I don't want to make you mad. I mean, you got a big beard and stuff. You might hit me. I mean, you know, well, I... J Jay is my employer, he might fire me. Is he my employer? Who do I work for? If I sleep under a bridge, Jesus is still on the throne. He's still my God. I haven't slept on the bridge not one time. And I bet you that you guys, if y'all thought I was on the bridge, I'd let me come stay on your couch. I didn't get no amens, no nothing out of that. I'm a little concerned. I might be having a talk with Kevin when he gets back. Now, that's how some people really think. That might be true, but if it is, it's because God moves on your heart to do so. Because God tells you to do that because you're spending time with the Lord. And if you're not, I don't want to be with you anyway. I'm going to sleep in no devil's house. Someone might sneak up on me in the middle of the night. That morning I was praying in the Holy Ghost. And I, Jacoby already laughing. He already knows. He's been around me for a long time. Are you laughing at something else? I don't know. And I'm sitting there knelt down at 4 a.m. and I'm getting revelation of the spirit of fear that God had told me to come against. And I'm sitting there, and I'm not talking about the fear of this kind. It was just fear. Stress, worry, that's a spirit of fear, by the way, if you're dealing with that. And I'm sitting there, and I'm praying in the Holy Ghost, you demon from hell, you've been exposed in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I command you in Jesus, you got to go. And I'm preaching, I'm getting after it. And all of a sudden, that 150-pound St. Bernard that bit Jacoby on the side one day jumped on the back of my legs. 4 a.m., pitch black. And in the country, it's black. Even in the living room, where there ain't no lights on. I'm praying. I thought I was in my prayer club. That sucker jumped on my back of my legs. I went, whack, kicked that dog, kicked him into the fireplace. Dog started yelping. Oh, oh, oh. That sucker never jumped on me again, but Juanita, that scared me. And my heart got up, and I was sitting there, my heart was going, I ain't working. It was going like that. And I got up, and I remember I was knelt down by the couch, and I got up, and I was shaking like that. My heart was going 160 miles an hour, and I sat on the couch, and I saw the Lord just, not literally, but I just saw the Lord looking at me going. I didn't know all the stuff. We learn stuff. We're working out our salvation. I haven't always done everything right like I do today, you know. And I'm sitting there, and then after just a few minutes later, Monica, then I start busting out laughing. I'm laughing like an idiot. And I'm sitting going, God, I'm sorry for, Lord, I thought I was fighting devils. I thought one done got me. I thought one done grabbed me by the leg. I thought one done got off on me. It was on. I'm telling you right now, because I know that the weapons of warfare are not carnal, but we was fixing to giddy up. But I kicked that sucker. I'm telling you, and I spun around. And I was ready. I thought that I was going to say, ah, fire and all kinds of stuff. I saw a statement. I saw hair balls flying through the air and all kinds, and a dog yelping over in the fireplace. I was superhuman. You know when that adrenaline hits you like that, and you know what I'm talking about? I'm kind of strong, just normal, but when the adrenaline kicks, this was Samson kind of stuff. I'm telling you. I'm telling you. And it was God, because I'm telling you, my heart should have exploded. You could see my shirt going. It was doing that. And I was like, and when I sat down and finally got everything back about me, I said, I couldn't help but to laugh. And then I said, Lord, should I tell anybody this? And I think the Lord said, it's okay. You meant well. It's okay to let people know that you're not perfect. You're not. It's okay. You're striving. You're working it out. Okay? How could you think that a devil done got you? If they'd had a video of that, I'd have won something, I'm telling you. I'd have won a contest of some kind. I don't know about the ugly sweater, but I'd have won something. Scared his preacher, maybe. At that moment. But I fear, lest by any means is the serpent beguiled, seduced, deceived. Eve. Through his subtlety. So your minds. And subtlety, the Hebrew word is Erum. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right or not. Erum. You can look it up, see if you can pronounce it. And subtlety is cautious, cunning, subtle, crafty, or prudent. To be prudent is acting with or showing care and thought for the future. So it's cunning, a scheming, a deceit, and there's so much more. So we realize that this subtlety which we see as simply deceive, is not quite so simple. It's a calculated deception. It is a plan to cause someone to err just slightly to the left or to the right of the cross, and over a period of time to completely make sure that they're disengaged to Christ and completely lost forever. That's the plan. That's the plan of the enemy. You see, we have all of this stuff, and we're looking at that even in Revelation it says that those who did not bow to the image of the beast. Can I tell you what image, what it means in the simplest form to be bear the image of Christ? To take on the moral likeness. What's his moral likeness? His word, who he is. And so what we have now is a plan of Satan. We have invaded this generation with technology. Listen, I'm in a place to where you see no children, poor or rich, without a phone in their hand at all times. And I'd like to tell you they're reading their Bible verse of the day. But with the earplugs in and what I'm hearing, it doesn't sound like worthy is the Lamb. And it flows continually. And we have a generation of cowards who have refused to address it, and so they don't even deal with it anymore, and so they just say, have your way! And here's what I would say to those leaders. You'll be with them in hell. I wonder if they'll be able to do anything about that. I just wonder. Well, I don't want to go there. But the mark of the beast, that those who do not worship the image of the beast, that are going to be, that the enemy is going to be given power to rule for a season. There's going to be many that are slaughtered. Some people say, well, that's not going to happen. Have you not seen what's going on right now? Where y'all at? Been going on for years. They do not bow to the image of the beast. But those who now who have allowed technology, I didn't say technology can't be used. It's being used right now. But let me tell you something. The more you become ingrained in this technology, desensitize this technology, the easier it will be to slide in the mark of the beast. See, that's the ultimate goal, is to take you to hell. That's the ultimate goal. And I believe that millions will be saved, but you got to understand there are billions in the world right now. Think about that. So when I say a few, yeah, there'll be millions saved. But billions will not be saved. What's more, millions or billions? You see, wide is the path to destruction. Narrow is the way to righteousness and the path. You see, you know, Janice brought this to the point that narrow, that going through the gate and the narrow path. You see, that is the espousal period, is walking the narrow path. And if you come off that, what is that, Matthew 7? Somebody tell me. I believe it's the same place where the fruit is. The tree is known by its fruit. Matthew 7. If we get off that narrow path, let me show you how to get off the path. Let me show you how to get off the path. Okay? To not know that we're there, I probably would have failed. Okay? Pay attention! You've got to watch where you're walking. You've got to look at your master. You've got to be led by the Spirit of God. You've got to spend time having your lamp filled with oil. You've got to be in the Word of God above all else. And the Word of God is not a daily devotional. It's not a TV program. It's alone time with God. Then, if those other things bless you, that's great. But that is not God. I just got unpopular with somebody on camera. We're going 4-2, so I'm talking about me too. If this is your only plan, if this is it right here, and this does not, let me correct something. If this doesn't cause you to go spend a long time with God and it makes you seek another man, you'll never have any oil in your lamp. Well, you can't explain why people are falling out. Yeah, the Holy Ghost slays people. You can't explain that. But some people are get so psychologically entwined of what they think they ought to expect. Sometimes they just fall out. Don't tell me you ain't ever done that. Hey, I've been messed up mentally by rock music. I used to get so messed up by rock music that I would have weird imaginations. I would have weird thoughts that when I stepped on the football field, I mean, I would be pacing like a lion. Not the Jesus kind of lion, the other kind that roams around seeking someone to devour. I was pacing with him. And I'm sitting there thinking, you're the enemy. And I would be so psyched up, man. I'd be sitting going, I've got to. I don't care. I've got to win. If I don't, something bad's going to happen to my family. I've got to win at all costs. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what happens. I've got to win. I've got to find a way. I got to. That was it. And God crucified that idol, crucified that devil of football in my life. Did I say that everybody plays football as a devil? No, my son plays college football. But for me, it was a God. And it had to be crucified. And I said, oh, this is over with. And God said, okay, now it's crucified. Now go coach. I don't want to, Lord. It's dead now. No, go. There's other people need to hear your story. They need to hear, let me correct that. You need to hear my story. And you'll tell them because, you know, you'll tell them because that's the personality I gave you. You see, some of you got personalities that are kind of outgoing. You know, it's like Lamina. She can talk to anything or anybody at any time. She's good. I'm telling you, if we go in somewhere like we're going in somewhere, we said, okay, we're going to run in for 5 minutes. No, not five. So there's somebody going to be standing there who's going to need to be talked to. But that is also a gift of God. But it was given to her to do what? To talk about who? Her husband. Yes. Now, I don't really have that. I don't know if Jay's got that. I think me and Jay got a lot in common, maybe. I may be wrong. I may be. But I've known Jay for a long time, too. And some of the other people. I don't really have that. But I can talk to anyone when the Holy Spirit moves on me. But I don't have the personality. Mine's more of a, but there's diversities of gifts. There's different personalities. And what we got to do, what I've got to do, is I can't beat up on somebody else because they don't have my personality. Even though I don't want my personality sometimes because it gets me in trouble, and I'm talking about preaching the gospel, as I told you before, like Jeremiah, it's the one God gave me. When I was coaching football, I was an aggressive coach. Woo-hoo, I wasn't looking at the path. Almost. I almost got to demonstrate real life, real deal. That wasn't that play acting right there. It wasn't hypocrisy. You know, being a hypocrite was play acting in the Bible. You know that, right? You know, all the people think the Hollywood actors, that's who they are. And in real life, it's not who they are. Yeah. It's happening all over America right now. In the church house. In the building. I got to get back to the word. Jacoby's got me off track. All right, here we go. But I'm right on track. Amen? All right. So, subtility, you need to understand that. Is like I said, I'm going to read all that again to you. Erum, E-R-U-M, that's the Hebrew word. It's cautious, cunning, subtle, crafty, prudent, which means acting with or showing care and thought for the future. Take no thought for the future. Today's got enough problems of its own. And it goes on to say, now compare what I wrote down to the simplicity of the cross. Subtility causes one to see themselves in the equation of salvation. It's a crossless offer. Now read again, verse 3. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled. What did he do to her? Did he deceive her? Did he seduce her? He seduced her. He drew her in. He drew her into this theology of the world that we're supposed to be a part of the world instead of what Jesus said. And I say Jesus because the Spirit of God wrote this. In 2 Corinthians 6, it says, be ye separate. And what he said in 1 Peter, through the Apostle Peter, that we are called to be holy, separate, consecrated unto him. So he draws her in, he tricks her, he deceives her, and thinks, number one, the first sin was, is she carried on a conversation with another man. Whoa, I never saw that poor coach. She's sitting there talking to him. Ladies, can I help y'all? Tell him to get lost. Some of you talk to other men, and you're happily married, and you're allowing Satan slowly to come in and inject venom. Well, you look pretty today. And slowly what that does is it begins to make him try to measure up to something that the woman, and I'm not talking about y'all, I'm using you as an example, okay? It causes her to try to make him into something he's not and something that doesn't exist, and then she begins to resent him. Because Satan is injecting venom through his other subtle ways, his beguiling. And it's subtle. It's just a little bit. Just a little hit here. A little hit here. Just a little injection when he goes by. Boy, you're so pretty today. Oh, we're just friends, girl. And it goes the other way as well. Look, coach, you're looking good today. You've been working out? I rebuke you, you lying devil. I don't listen to Jesse Duplantis, but I remember him saying that he was on an airplane one time, and he said this nice-looking woman walked up to me. This was years ago when I was just barely saved and newly engaged, and I thought it was funny. And I was like, everybody's laughing when this guy preaches. He came into the church and was preaching. Were you there, Janice? And he came in, and he said, this girl came up there, and he said, I didn't know what to do. He said, I was sitting there, if y'all know Jesse Duplantis, you know, he said, I didn't know what to do. I can't talk to this girl, you know, whatever. He said, whore of Babylon, whore of Babylon. He said, I had to do something to get rid of her before sin set in. And she's like, ah, and she left. Hey, whatever it takes to be free, whatever it takes to not lose that engagement, come on now. I'm sorry. Well, I don't want to hurt their feelings. You better be careful of whose feelings you're hurting. It says, do not what? Grieve who? The Holy Ghost. Don't grieve the Spirit of God. If you're married to Jesus, you need to start acting like it, lest you be disqualified on the day of the wedding and the door be shut and you be left outside with your lamp with no oil in it going, sorry, we're full. Depart from me. I never knew you. But Lord, I don't remember that. You did nothing for me. You didn't obey nothing. Well, you had your rewards in this life, your riches, your friends. You had everything in this life. You've already received your reward. Now go be with your father, the devil. You see, this chaste virgin, and I know I'm backing up, but I'm hitting on these words as the Holy Ghost leads, is a pursued future bride of Christ. It is a persecuted. And persecution may not mean that you're getting your head chopped off like the Middle East, but it might be. But it certainly means that people, you're not going to be favorable everywhere you go. There is a few men who love to see me coming, and God is doing a work, and I said I've bound with some brothers. But there's some that can't get out of the office fast enough. And I like when somebody comes, they go into their desk and like they come in the morning, it's kind of like this. And they come in there and they got their Bibles out. Oh, shoot, I've got to get something on my desk. And then they try to sneak over there and then they go over and they get whatever they get to. Hey, coach. You want to study your Bibles? I've got something I got to do. I'll get you next time. I got to go to class. It's got to be the most miserable. You see, the world ought to be miserable around you. It shouldn't be the other way around. They ought to be miserable. When they come in, they ought to be hiding from you. Not the bottom. But it's the other way around. Y'all know what I'm talking about. I promise you, I am not going to deny my Lord. I make a lot of mistakes. And some of you that know me are going to say, amen. But one thing that I will not do, I will not deny the Word of God and gratify my flesh and rearrange this saying that Ronnie Shelby is right just for the sake of fitting into the world. No, I'm going to speak the Word of God. If it stomps on my foot, then so be it. See, God gave me the words that are you consumed? He didn't say, are you? He said, are you? I said, Lord. I said, can I be honest with you? What is it going to do to lie? I mean, and you know what I told him? You know what I told him yesterday? I said, I'm putting myself out there. I said, no, I'm not, Lord. I said, I'm sorry. And you know that the tear runs down. Yeah, you know the requirement for making heaven? A tear? Wait a minute. Some people are going to be crying when they're drug into hell. It's not the requirement. The crying is not the requirement. It does happen. But it was a very emotional moment when you're driving down the road and he says, are you consumed? You know, Lord. And I would add to that and says, how can you not be? Some of you should be in leadership positions. You should have gotten promotions at your jobs. Some of you ought to own businesses. And all of these things that you have given up because you would not deny Christ.
And denying Christ was to be silent. Remember what I said a while ago. The ultimate form of judgment is silence. When you don't talk about your master around the world, you have already denied the one you say you want to be married to. And if that were an earthly man and you denied him, or an earthly woman, they would drop you and throw the ring back at you and say, no deal. If they had any brains at all. They would. And if Jay saw Janice hanging out with, she would never do that, with a bunch of men hanging out, just them, and talking, Jay would have a problem with that. We don't have a problem with it with Jesus, do we? Let's just go hang out with the world and just talk about what they want to talk about. Let's just do what they want to do. Even though we have clear scripture, it tells us, come out from among them. Separate yourself. Separate yourself. Why? Because if you don't separate yourself, there can't be any oil in your lamp. There's no oil in your lamp. You can't win the lost. That's why you're separate. It doesn't mean that you physically don't go through the midst of the world. Yes, we do. But as I go through the midst, I go to be a light to the world. Not to partake of the darkness, but to give light. And you know what happens in the light? Cockroaches scatter. But you know what else happens? Some bugs are drawn into the light, and they're zapped by Jesus. You see, that's what we do it for, because the light brings in some. Man, I go out there to that cabin. I'm going to tell y'all something. And I go out there, and I get the door unlocked, and I go, I mean, you know why? Because when you go out there late at night, the bugs are all sitting there waiting at the porch. They're all waiting for you, dude. Because it's dark out there. They're all. I mean, if y'all could see me sometimes out there. But then as soon as I shut the door, it ain't 1 minute later, they're in the cabin. Going, you got holes all in this place, dog. Some of you got holes all in this place. You see, you're trying to keep those devils out, but you forgot your windows open. That ain't funny. I don't know why I'm laughing. I think I see me as a big goon over bouncing in that little cabin. I'm going to have to do some video for y'all at some point, or somebody. Just for church entertainment. All right, let me finish this thing up. So we were talking about being subtle. The simplicity of the cross. Subtle causes one to see themselves in the equation of salvation. It's a crossless offer. You play no part in it but surrender, guys. I said you play no part in it to surrender. Every time you do not witness to the world, then you have played a part in it. You have not surrendered. The song was today. I don't even remember the words of it, but I keep thinking the words are surrender. The words surrender, surrender. That's what I kept hearing. Surrender, surrender all. Surrender to Christ. Surrender to God. And it would be a good song for us to end this service with. To surrender all. Because when you do not preach Christ, you have not surrendered all. Well, I'm not a preacher. I beg to differ. You're a bearer of the good news. You're a minister of the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. And I'll read verse 4 and I'll shut this thing down. It says, for if he that comes preaches another Jesus. You see, the Jesus that says it's okay to not talk about Jesus. They're not ready. They're not ready. They're as going to hell today as they will be tomorrow. What do you mean they're not ready? If you're going to hell today, what do you mean you're not ready? There's no other way to go but heaven. Get ready. The bus is leaving. You're not guaranteed tomorrow. Get engaged. Preaches another Jesus whom we have not preached. Or if you receive another spirit, a seducing spirit. These were espoused people to Christ. These were saved people who allowed another spirit to come in. They kept the bugs out of the door, but they jumped in the window. Which you have not received, or another gospel which you have not accepted, you might well bear with him. Lord, I've preached what you've asked me to minister today. And Lord God, I feel led by the Spirit of God that as we sing this song, if it's okay with you guys, if we're ready for that, that guys, don't leave this place. It's as simple as surrender all. When God said, are you consumed? My answer was no. Now, 5 years ago, would my answer have been different? Yes, it would have been yes. But see, as we walk with the Lord, we're in new territories. There's a deeper requirement. Y'all need to hear me on that. You see, salvation is not just a destination to where we, you know, on this earth to where we just show up and we stay there, but it's a place to begin our growth process. And as we grow, we begin to expand. We begin to take new territory. Does that make sense to anybody? So I didn't tell you that God is, that you're going to hell or that I was going to hell. That's not what I was telling you. What I was telling you is there is another season of growth that God has called me to. I can't stay where I'm at. I'm too far out to go back to shore. But I haven't got to where God wants me to go yet. You see, you can be out in the ocean and lose. I can't get back. I've already given up the world, but if I stay here, it was all for naught. I've got to finish the journey. I must finish the race, as Paul said. If I drop the baton, if I'm the anchor leg, come on now. If I'm the anchor leg and I drop the baton, I can't finish the race. If that's you, just let this music minister to you. Give it to the Holy Ghost.